There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Thank you for helping us. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We appreciate it. You being here this morning, and I notice the rest of them would probably be here if they wasn't sick or some other reason they have that they may not be able to come. But I appreciate you being here today, and I'm just looking forward to a great time in glory one of these days, because this old world don't hold anything for us as Christians, not a thing. But you know what? As we see things coming to pass today, we just say, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And God's a great God, isn't he? He's one that loves us and cares for us. This message this morning I want to bring to you, I'm not sure, it's one of my older outlines, but I'm not sure whether I preached it here or not. But if I have, most of the time, nobody remembers it that much anyway, right? If it's been a while. So just hang on, enjoy if you can. If you can't, say, Lord, help me. And let's just have a good time with the Lord today. I tell you, God's been good to us, has he not? I tell you, he's an awesome God. He's a God that I could try to sing this morning, but I'm not right now. How great they are. And surely he is a great God, isn't he? I love to brag on Jesus, because he's the only one I got to brag on, really. But that don't make no difference. I still want to brag on him if he wouldn't. Is Brother Donnie listening? He is. Okay. All right. Well, first of all, I want us to turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. There's something else that I don't want to read to you, and I know it'll probably bless your heart. There's some message too in itself. And most of y'all probably were raised up on a farm, were you not? Or somewhere close by a farm. You know what a farm is, right? So I want us to do something this morning. Whether you know how to do it or not, we're going to do it, okay? Just try your best to think about what I'm telling you, all right? We're going to plant a garden, and this is not my message. I just want to get you ready for the message, okay? How many of you have ever planted a garden? You tried, I did a few times. Well, you know what? I love to eat out of the garden, don't you? Get fresh stuff out of the garden, I can eat it. I sure can. Most everything, I can't eat all of it, I won't tell you. Some of it is just too much for me. I cannot. But I want us to, in doing this today, let's plant happiness, okay? All of us have got something in our heart and in our mind and in our lives that we would like to be rid of, I'm sure. And it leaves us sad when we think about it. So let's just say, devil, we don't want you here today. So we're going to plant a garden and we're going to plant happiness, okay, in our soul. First of all, let's plant 5 rows of peas, okay? 5 rows of peas. Preservance, presence. Isn't it good that God's presence is here today? Amen. Preparation, promptness, and purity. Those 5 kinds of peas right there. Let's plant those in our heart this morning, okay? Now, let's go on to the second thing that we need to plant. Let's plant 3 rows of squash. You like squash? I do. One of my favorite, really, but I don't get to eat it much. Let's squash gossip. Amen? Let's also squash criticism. And also, let's squash indifference. That's not too much to ask anybody, is it? For us to squash some things out of every one of our lives. And that means if we do that and some of these other things, then we can be happy. But most of all, we can be happy in the Lord. All right, let's go on and plant 5 rows of lettuce. 5 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful to duty. And church, I hate to say to be faithful to church because all of you are. But I'm just encouraging you, trying to encourage you to keep on keeping on for the glory of God and be faithful to the house of God. We need other people, do we not? To be in our life, Christian people, that is, that can help us along the way. Jesus does it all. He does everything for us. I know that. But every once in a while, he sends somebody along that'll help us a little bit. Does he not? You ever realize that? I'm sure you have. But let's be faithful to our church. Let's also be unselfish and loyal. All right. You say, well, I'm doing all I can. Well, maybe you are, and that's fine. I hope you are. Let us be true to our own obligations to God. This also, let us love one another, okay? Every one of us. I know that I got things in my life probably that you knew about that you don't appreciate. I know that probably. Some of you may not even like me at all, and that's okay too. God loves me, and that's the main thing. Amen? All right, let's go on a little bit further. as we love one another. It's harder to love some people than it is to love others, ain't it? But God tells us that we're to love one another. All right, let's go on. No garden, and I'm going to stop with this. No garden is complete without turnips. You like turnips? I do too. But I can't eat them right out of the garden. Got to have them, you know, cooked a little bit. I love turnips. Let's turn up for important meetings like the church meetings. Okay? Turn up with a smile. And we hadn't sung our smile song yet. But I might do it before I preach. I want you to smile a while. Then let's turn up with new ideas. I believe that every one of us can stand to see our church grow, can't we? Would we not like to see that? I'm sure we would. And then let's turn up with new ideas and with determination to make everything count for something good and worthwhile. Is that too much to ask of this morning? I hope not, because we just planted a garden of that in our minds. So let's take this week, and whichever thing God shows us that we should be doing a planting the most of, then go ahead and plant it. That ain't hurt nothing. It's time of the year to plant stuff. Is it not? Pretty close anyway. Spring's here. And I know I read this, but I'm going to read it again, okay? Y'all may not like me after I say this, but I like rock and roll. Y'all? And why I like rock and roll is this. Waves of joy flows over my soul. When I think of the joy of the rock and roll, the solid rock on which we stand goes far beyond the efforts of man. Amen. To the bosom of a virgin Jewish girl, our rock came down from the Father's world. From this rock Moses drank, of this rock David sang. It was Isaiah's shade in a weary land, and on this rock God's children stand. This rock's a blessing without a doubt. But when I think of the roll, I want to shout. Amen. All right. To know my name is written down within the life book of the Lamb. By the red blood of Calvary, my name was inscribed. He made me a part of the heavenly bride. And I feel something in my soul this morning that I hope every one of you feel. All right. And to God's little children, there are blessings untold. To stand on the rock and have your name on the road. Amen. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I think you all is too. And you know what? It's written in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? There's not a thing you can do about it after you're saved. Except, you know, just take it and do for the Lord what He wants us to do. He gives us free will to accept the Lord. And we have to accept His blood there on Calvary's cross that He shed for us. All of y'all know all this, but I'm going to tell you again. Every time I come down here, I'll probably tell you something that I already told you, but that's all right, too. With me, I don't know about you. You get tired of me, you know where I'm at. Okay? All right. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 12. You know, it's been a whole lot of revelation taught lately. Preachers preach on it. But you know what? It goes to show us that we're living in the last days. I could give you scripture on top of scripture to let you know, and I'm sure you already know those scriptures, that we're living in the last days. You know, the coming of Christ could just be any time now. He could step out just any time, call his children home, and for us that are saved, be the best time in the world. That song we sung a while ago. Isn't it wonderful? Yes. To know that we have a place to go to that's better than this old world, that's for sure. Amen. Revelation 1, verse 12. Let's start at verse 12. You know, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, is he not? That simply means he's the first and the last. He was here beforehand, he's here now, and he'll be here forever. And something else about him too, he'll never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All right, the first and the last. And I turned in verse 12 to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, who's it talking about? That as he turned, he saw those seven golden candlesticks. It's John, wasn't it? They're on the Isle of Patmos. It was John. He saw the seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of those seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girdled about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hands were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And had the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Father, we thank you for the reading of God's word. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that tells us where we're being, where we're going, and what to do while we're going there. Lord, I pray today that you just help us as we try to bring this message. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just bless us and anoint us and preach through us today, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us. And for everyone that's sick, Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll touch them and they'll soon be back in God's house. Thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I thought about this all the week. And even before this week, I've been thinking about the hands of Jesus. The hands of Jesus. Now, let me say to you, he's in control of everything that's happening today. Not only is he in control, Everything is in His hand. Everything was made by His hands. Now, there's a lot of things that the world, when he made man and they sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's a lot of things that had changed in His creation. Yes, things are not as pretty as they used to be when He first said, "Let it be, let it be, let it be." They're not the same because sin has come in to the world. The Bible said, "By one man sin entered into the world." And we believe that, Eve, first of all, then Adam. We pray that, that every one of us, through this sin that's been handed down to us, can ask God to forgive us, and we have. And not only ask Him to forgive us, to do what we can for the glory of God as a Christian. But as I thought about the hands of the Lord, I said, I want to talk about that today. There's some things that I want to share with you that's in the hand of the Lord. First of all, there are wounds in His hands. Now, man made those wounds, didn't he? Jesus had beautiful hands, no doubt. But when they pierced His hands there on Calvary's cross, blood trickled down his arm, no doubt. They planted a crown of thorns on His head. And I hear people say they put them on there, but I do believe that they just jabbed them down on there. And blood began to trickle down His face. They did Jesus an awful death. But that's what was supposed to be by God's word. Because there was no other person. There was worthy of doing it. There is no other person that's worthy of giving His life blood for us. Well, look at this. We see that the Bible says in Zechariah 13, verse 6, and I'm going to be trying to give you some scriptures for everything I say about His hands. Okay? I hope I can clarify with the scriptures. And what are the Bible says in Zechariah 13:6, what are those wounds in thine hands? These with which I was wounded in the house of my friends, the answer was. I believe that's what Jesus was telling them, that His friends are wounded in His hands. Or they're supposed to have been His friends if they weren't. You see, the wounds in the hand of Jesus will forever remind us of His great love and the great price that He paid for our redemption. Great was His price for our redemption. And then in Isaiah 53, verse 5, says He was wounded for our transgressions. What's it saying? His hands, His feet. He died for our sins. That's simply what He's saying. An awful death that was there on Calvary's cross for Him. You see, we could talk a whole lot about His death on Calvary's cross. The Bible says that He went to the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. He went there and prayed. And here's His prayer. He said, "Father, if it be any other way, let this cup pass from me." But God knew that it was no other way. So He had to turn His back on His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank God for a person would do something like that for us. And you've heard me say this many times. I'll say it again this morning. I'm thankful. You know why? Because it had not been for anybody else in this world. I believe Christ would have died for me. And the same with you. He would have died for you. If you'd have been the only one in this world, he'd have loved you enough to die for you. That's God's word, and I believe it myself. And whether I believe it or not, it's still God's word. And God's word is true no matter whether we believe it or not, too. So you better, all of us better, get ready to really study God's word and know what's coming up for us in the day and time that we're living in. All right, because the Bible also said that there was a sword in his hand. Did it not say that? Joshua 5:13. What does the sword represent? The word. The word was in his hand. There stood a man against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And then in Ephesians 6:17, the Bible tells us that, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Did he not? Did he not say that? Sure did. All right, let's go on. Not only was there moons in his hand, but there was a sword in his hands also. But not only was there moons and sword in his hand, there was, you know what a plumb line is, don't you, Bill? I knew you did if they didn't. There's a plumb line in his hand. What was he doing? Amos 7:7 says, and the Lord stood on the wall with the plumb line in his hand. Okay? Now, the Lord is going to place his plumb line on every man. What's he going to do? God's not going to see how you measure up in human standards, but his heavenly, what? Plumb line. That's how he's going to measure by his plumb line. You see, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. He is Lord. No doubt in my mind. No doubt in your mind, I know. But let me say to you, that's the way we better know anyway. Whether we admit it sometimes or not, it's true. The way things are going now, we need to get on fire for the Lord, don't we? We need to get settled and get settled in the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I want to do what you want me to do. May your will be done in my life. That's what Jesus prayed there in the Gethsemane, didn't he? In the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? If it be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But if it wasn't any other way, then nevertheless, thy will be done. That's what he was saying. Now, let's go on a little bit further. There's wounds in his hand. There's sword in his hand. There's a plumb line in his hand. But there's something else. There's sheep in his hands. I'm in his hand. Aren't you? I'm sure you are. You see, there's goats and sheep that God talks about. There's a lot of goats around, ain't there? You know what goats like to do? They like to eat everything that they can. Well, you know, goats, if they could talk, they'd probably like to talk all they could. But they're sheep too. God's little children. You know, he loves his children. He left the 99 and went and found one little sheep or little lamb, either one you want to say, because he missed him. In John chapter 10, verse 28, and keep in mind now, there's sheep in his hands. We're his little sheep. John 10:28 says, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Vernon and I have been talking about that about all the week, off and on. Can you be lost again? Absolutely not. Why, if the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough to keep you, I don't know what it would take. But I know a whole lot of people don't believe that. But thank God I do. And I'm sure you do. See, I think about my little old hand here. I hear people say, grab Jesus' hand and walk with him. No, I want him to grab my hand, hold mine. Because my little old hand is not enough to hold his hand. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not big enough. But if he gets my hand, it's sealed. Is it not? All right. You're looking at one here that believes in eternal security. God teaches it, and I believe it. Now, I know that you can't live any way you want to, because if you do, then it may be that you didn't get saved when you said you were. But I'll get to that in a little while, okay? I might let you out early, I don't know. I mean, after all, it's just 9:45. I've been preaching for 20 minutes at least. Okay? There is sheep in his hand. And be sure that you are in his hand, because not everyone says this, Lord, Lord, shall I enter in. That's sad, isn't it? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is in the hand of the Lord. A lot of people confess, but they don't possess. The Bible tells us to repent of our sins. And when we do, God will forgive us if we really mean business with him. And then you can walk around any way you want to, not believing that God will save you. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. And you ask him to save you. You ask him to come to him. Then, more than likely, if you ask him, he'll save you. All right. Let's talk about that cup of salvation for a minute. There's a cup in his hand. There's a cup of salvation. In Psalms 116, verse 13, it said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon his name. Whose name? Jesus. The sweetest name that I know. Jesus Christ. You see, and then in John chapter 4, verse 10, it said, and he would have given thee living water. Well, there's living water available for all. And there's none short, not none. He's got enough for every one of us. He's got a whirlpool, in other words. Then in Revelation chapter 3, couple of chapters over, Revelation 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now, let me read that again and read it wrong and see if you catch it. Okay? And I'm telling you, I'm going to do it. So you were probably looking for it. Okay? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." I didn't do it. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I'm reading it again. "If any man hear my voice, open the door, I might come into him." "Well, I think I'll come into him." No. He didn't say think so, did he? He didn't say hope so. It's a no-so salvation. If you're saved, you know it. Amen. I can guarantee it upon the authority of God's word and my testimony. You know, it's wonderful, the fellowship with the Lord, isn't it? He will sup with us and we with him. There is a cup in his hand, and there's the cup of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is accepted time. And every one of us, if we were not saved, we ought to be right here on this altar right now. Because it's not going to be long. And I don't want anybody to be left behind. I know that there will be some left behind, and probably some that I had a chance to witness to and didn't. I think about that a lot of times too. All right, let's go on a little bit further. There is a scourge in his hand, or judgment. There's judgment in his hand. Let's go to Hebrews 12:6. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth," what? "He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Get a little personal now. When you were growing up, did your daddy or mama one use a switch on you or whipping something? And I think about it a lot of times. It wasn't that I was a good boy. I wasn't. There's good, none good, no, no one. But my dad didn't ever whoop me. My mama never did whoop me but one time. And well, she didn't whoop me then. She just took a fist and hit me in the chest. She was so upset. Daddy pulled my ears, and I reckon that's the reason they're so big now, one time. But he never whooped me. But I'm telling you, I've got a lot of whoopings from the Lord. You've ever been took out behind the old woodshed? You know what I'm talking about. God has a whipping post for every disobedient child. Does he not? One of the best ways to know a person is saved is when he disobeys God. He's in for scourging. I think about it a lot of times. I do something wrong and say, whoop, just like that. The Holy Spirit says, whoops. And sometimes I get a whooping for it if I don't go ahead right then and ask for God's forgiveness. And you do the same thing, I know. You know what I'm talking about. You don't have to be a scientist to figure that one out. But you know, God's been good to us, hasn't he? Even with these things in his hand, and he's got the whole world in his hand, so to speak. Well, even with that and everything in his hands, he still has time for us. And he'll help us any way that we need for him to help us. I don't say that he'll help us for all of our wants, because a lot of times we get kind of like we want this and we want that. We get kind of wanting things that probably wouldn't be of no good to us. I know y'all had never done that, but I have a lot of times. I've asked for them sometimes. I got them sometimes, and he showed me that I didn't need them. Anyway, we're living in the last days. And as we think about Jesus and the hands that are nail scarred, we think, oh, how much love he had for us. Surely, today, I want to say to you in closing, he loves us more than we can ever realize. Just try to remember that God loves you and no one ever cared for you like Jesus.